And we've got another full hour of open lines for you. I wanted to share this email in from Glenn. You know, on Fridays, we have our mass consciousness, our prayer get-together. People email me reasons why they think they need to be on the list or people that they care about. And you spend a little bit of your time on Friday and just concentrate on them. And it does work. We've had some incredible stories. And I wanted to share this one from Glenn. It says, "Dear Mr. Norrie, please thank the Coast to Coast listeners for another successful prayer list request. First of all, my 88-year-old father was healed from the brink of death a year ago when you did this, and now my wife will be able to keep her job. For weeks, the National Institute of Health Board has been split, debating if they should give my wife a bridging grant so that she could continue her job at UCSF. The Friday prayer list, well, she went on that list. She received a call from her grant people and that would be funded 3 days before the board was even scheduled to make a final decision. It works, Glenn." It does. It does. Anyway, we'll be back with open lines in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, and let's go to the calls. Ridgeway, Colorado, Bob's there on Coast to Coast. Hi, Bob. Good morning.
Hi, George. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Sure thing.
We're having a scenario here in Colorado. We're on the western slope of chemtrails. They're making these odd clouds with jet airplanes.
Of course, yeah.
And we're kind of curious what your knowledge is on what the heck they're up to. Today, we're out on the reservoir in our boat. It's not a cloud in the sky. We're enjoying 85, 90-degree temperatures. And we start seeing the jets going over at altitude, and they have the vapor trail, but it never dissipates. And then another jet coming along at a higher, like elevation,
yeah.
So the two combine, and the two chemtrails combine, and then we have a cloud.
And by the end of the night, it looks like tic-tac-toe, doesn't it?
It does. It looks like tic-tac-toe. And we were out from 2 in the afternoon until, and then we were going to go for a night sail, so we're out until 11:30 tonight, watch the moon come up, sun go down, and there's sun dogs in these clouds that you can see, all the rainbow colors. The moon just had a red hue over it, and it's just baffling. And we feel like, are we the only ones seeing this?
No, they're all over the country, all over the country. And it runs the gamut, Bob, from weather manipulation to just plain jet vapor trails that you're seeing to some spraying formula to dumb us down. I mean, all kinds of theories. I've had a few experts on over the years who have outlined 8 different possibilities. Have you ever, for example, gone outside in the morning and saw what you thought might have been spider webs all over the place on the grass and everywhere? And it's really not. It's fibers coming from these things. Have you seen that?
Yeah, I haven't seen that particular instance, but we've had some health kind of things, perhaps, we think were related.
Respiratory?
Well, actually, nasal.
Okay, that's all related.
And this is so prevalent here that, and then we will get these really strong winds out of nowhere on a clear day, no storms, no storm centers. A few days after we experience these massive chemtrail things, in the clouds here. Do you ever see The Truman Show, the movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's like you're somewhere else because the clouds don't even look real.
It's surreal, the whole thing.
And I've been a sailor for 30 years, and I know clouds, and I know weather patterns, and this is just so bizarre and so scary and so prevalent anymore. And tonight we probably saw a dozen, 15 different jets laying these things out.
You can't get a clear day anymore. You just can't.
And we kind of wonder what's going on. Is it the global thing or?
What's your weather patterns been like there lately?
You know, it's been, for the last couple of weeks, it's been sunny and warm. Not much moisture.
All right, let's see if it rains soon. Let's see if what they've been doing trying to see seed up there. You never know. Keep an eye on it and let us know. Call us in on the maybe a week from now. Let's go to Salt Lake City, Utah. Scott's with us now on Coast to Coast. Hi, Scott. Take it
hey,
away.
Hey, George. It's good to be on. I just had a quick question for you. Okay. You know, you've probably talked to more guests and more people that know in this field than anyone. What's your take on the whole 2012 thing? Do you think it's really end of the world scenario, or do you think it's more of a consciousness shift, or what, if you have a different take?
I believe that 2012 has to do with the solar system and the sun. I think the Mayans were great astronomers, and, you know, as we go through this very bizarre period of Earth changes, and we know the sun is heating up, other planets in the solar system are getting hotter. They don't have factories out there. They don't have cars out there. You know, and, you know, this is not a admission of, you know, man-made global warming by any means. Or pollution. I mean, the two different issues altogether. Pollution needs to be dealt with. But the solar system is heating up. And I think the Mayans were well aware of some kind of celestial event. And we'll just see. 2.5 years to go, a little less than that. But I think the Mayans knew that there was something going on with the sun. And we're going into a solar maximum now. More sunspots will occur. More will occur during that period. And my take is it could be an X flare that gets us or something like that. In terms of the moment of enlightenment, I don't think that's what it is. I'm going to stick with the sun, and we'll see what happens. Remember, it's going to be more than just that day, by the way. You know, it's not going to be that Friday that we're going to be on the air. It's not going to be flipping a switch. It's going to be happening before and after. Let's go to Dawn in Greensboro, North Carolina. Hey, Dawn, take it away.
Hi. I guess I'm a lot like some of your other callers have called in. I know one last night said that he felt like he lived in the Twilight Zone. I've been sort of a lightning rod, I guess you can say, for paranormal activity for almost as long as I can remember. And I could definitely fill up a couple shows, too, with things that I've experienced. At only 28, but I wanted to know, have you ever had anyone come on? I might have missed some shows because I was on a different shift there for a while. I've never been able to hear anything about iridescent aliens, and whenever I would go online, I find out about the reptilians, the Greys, the Nordics, you know, but there was really not much I've been able to find about the iridescent, and I personally know that they exist. I've never seen a gray or a reptilian, but I have seen iridescent.
You mean like jellyfish? They look like that kind of look?
You remember back in the 80s, I was very young whenever this movie came out.
The Abyss. The Abyss.
Like, I've never seen that movie, but I saw Cocoon. It's very similar to Cocoon.
Okay.
But you know, they're humanoid, but they kind of glow. But I've never really been able to hear anybody who's an expert on the subject, I guess you'd say.
Okay, you know, we've had people that have talked a little bit about different kinds of races of ETs, and they've mentioned that a little bit. They haven't gone in depth into that. You've got to rent the movie The Abyss. Watch the whole thing.
Well, unfortunately, my husband's a great skeptic, and much of what I've experienced, I've had to put on the back burner, and what I know and what I can do.
So, if you got this movie, he'd be upset.
Yes. Matter of fact, a couple years ago, my son, when he was 3, started seeing a demon in the house. And unfortunately, I have to admit, I inadvertently brought him to the house by visiting another place. And my son took a picture of it. And my husband was like, well, that's just dust particles and stuff like that. And, yeah, I'm like, you know, this is proof. This is a picture, you know, and, you know, things would move and it was just one of those things where the wind can't do it. The wind is not open.
Well, you've got to rent this movie. I mean, he's not going to say anything about it. It's a great movie. But you got to watch the whole thing, and it's exactly what you've been talking about tonight.
It's been a long time since any of those encounters, but I do know that encounters with that race, I guess you could say, might would be a family deal, because I would find out years later, after the fact, that other people in the family have experienced it, as long as we didn't tell one another. I guess everybody just thought it was just dreams and things like that.
Well, so now, where's your husband right now?
He's asleep in Lexington right now, okay. The barbecue city of the world. So
what if he was up listening and he heard you on the radio talking about this? Would he go nuts?
He wouldn't turn on the radio, and if he did, I'm afraid to say he would not be one of your listeners.
We'll win him over. He will win him over. Okay, thanks, Don. Next up, we go to Sterling in Evansville, Indiana. Hi, Sterling. Welcome to the show.
Hi. I'm a really long-time listener, actually, and a first-time caller.
Well, great. I've got some friends out that way.
Well, you're great. Actually, you were talking earlier about animal spirits, mm-hmm, and all that. And, well, we have kind of an interesting legend around here, I guess you could call it. I've experienced it myself about 3 times now. We have something that we just call the big black dog. It's
Red eyes?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. And it's very well known around here among people who are a little bit sensitive. I've actually seen it in my own house. I have a large black dog. And, the day I saw it in my own house, I was vacuuming and I looked up, and I saw this large black dog in my kitchen, and at first I thought it was my own dog, of course, you know. Well, you know, I'm vacuuming, and I look back, and my dog is on my bed on the other side of the house, you know. So it's very interesting, especially to me, because I'm a daughter of a zoo director. I've got a lot of, experience with animals.
Sure.
And I've got a lot of experience with animals, and mostly, you know, wonderful experiences. My old cat, she was 24 when she died, and she was, you know, just a savior of my life.
That's old for a cat, isn't it?
That's very, very, very old for a cat, yes. It really is. We were kind of hoping we'd go for the world record, but I found out later that it was about 30. But she, that old cat of mine, she literally, very literally, saved my life several times as a youngster. I had some real bad times when I was a young child, and my mom died and all that. And so I've had always very good experience with animals. And this big black dog is just what it's called around here. And I know, probably, George, I know like 30 people at least who have seen this dog.
And it just kind of appears and disappears?
It appears the first time I saw it in an alleyway. I was outside smoking a cigarette, because, of course, you can't smoke inside anywhere. And even back then, it was at least 10 or 15 years ago. I couldn't smoke in the house, so I went outside, and I saw it in the alleyway. And I'll tell you, I have never been so frightened in my life. I've had a lot of experiences with strange spirits and frightening feelings, you know. But this dog, I've never been so scared in my life, and I'm a dog trainer by profession.
Well, let me ask you, when this dog appears, mm-hmm, is it particularly violent to you?
No, the first time it appeared, in fact, at first I went to call for it, because to me, you know, my first instinct is, oh, well, call the dog over. I'm a dog trainer, like I said, call the dog over and say hi. The dog literally very calmly and very silently turned to walk away. And whenever I went down the alleyway to follow it, and it's a very short alleyway where I was, and when I got to the end of the alleyway, it was gone.
Now, does anything happen when this dog shows up? Can you relate it to other events?
Now, honestly, a lot of people that I have spoken to, because I'm very well connected around here, a lot of people I've spoken to said, yes, they have had very bad experiences after they've seen the dog. Personally, myself, I've had a lot of bad experiences in my life, and I can't tell you whether I had them shortly afterward or not, but they said, yes, that they had bad experiences, bad runs of bad luck very shortly after seeing the dog. A friend of mine said she actually ran over the dog, looked into her rearview mirror, and it was not there.
Yeah, my take is that it's exactly that. This dog is probably warning people in its own little way to just be on guard. Look out.
Right, and I tell you, George, I have never, and even the girl who said she ran over the dog, she stopped the car, and she said it was not there, but she was absolutely positive. She ran, you know, completely sober. She was absolutely positive she ran over the dog. And it was not there. And then very shortly afterwards, her parents got a divorce. It, you know, I was younger then. We were, you know, in our early 20s. But she said her parents got a divorce, and she had a really bad run of bad luck.
Yeah, that would be my take, that it's out to warn people.
Yes, it's and I tell you, this dog gives you the creepy. I have very rarely. I don't want to say never, but I have very rarely had such a frightened feeling anytime I've seen this dog.
Yet you say though it has not done anything to harm you.
It has never done anything. The one time I actually saw it in my house, it did nothing but sit in my. It was sitting in my kitchen floor, and yet I looked down the hallway, which my house was a straight stretch. Then you know you look from my kitchen all the way back to my back bedroom, and I'm vacuuming. I look in my house. I look in my kitchen, I mean, and I see it in the kitchen. And then I look the other way, and my dog is in my bed, literally laying on my bed. So, obviously it wasn't my dog. And I look back, and it was gone.
All right. Well, that's my take. I would say that it's there to warn people, Sterling. Simple. Let's go to San Bernardino, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Tony, take it away.
Hi, George. It's always a pleasure to talk to you and more so listen to you when we can't talk to you. I've talked to you several times before. I'm the police officer.
Right.
The Koyama incident. Different story. My wife, about 6 years ago, had a brain aneurysm rupture.
Oh, my.
And she's disabled now. But what happened that night, I had to work the day watch shift, so we went to bed about 9 p.m., and she just woke me with a real bad headache, and it just got progressively worse, you know, 2 minutes after she woke, and for some reason, something told me, you know, get dressed.
Yeah, get ready.
Get ready.
Yeah.
And sure enough, you know, one of the first things I did is I said, if I drive her to the hospital, yeah, it's going to take time, and let me get an ambulance rolling. So I called 911. They were there within 5 minutes.
Yeah, they're unbelievable, aren't they?
Right, and they put her on IVs immediately and transported her to the hospital. And 2 hours later, she was having brain surgery. And the thing about it is that, you know, the couple days prior, our dog, we had a beautiful black Sharpei. Her name was Betty. She's about 13 years old. She's passed away since. She was always real hyper and, you know, always jumped all over us. But a couple of days before, she just was like in a depressed mood.
She knew. She knew. She felt it. Hey, we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Thanks, Tony. You can text away at us. Tommy's got the next text for it.
Samantha from Nashville, and she says that her sister is nice one day and mean the next, and she wants to know if this is a form of shape-shifting.
You never know. You know, she could be bipolar, for all we know. But people go through different personalities. You know, we have talked about people that we've all known in our lives over the years with guests. And, you know, we know people who shapeshift. We know people who have demons enter their life. Who was a guest a couple years ago that said that if people are drinking, that they're more prone to have demons come in and take over. But in, you know, her particular case with her sister, maybe they just don't get along.
Now, I happen to know that you have a friend in St. Louis who shapeshifts.
Yeah. She does.
And that was pretty wild. I remember that story you told me.
And her eyes get reptilian.
All righty.
Back in a moment with your calls on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back. Let's go to Ernie in Annapolis, Southern Maryland. Hey, Ernie, welcome to the show.
Hi, George.
Hi.
A pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you.
I just wanted to mention, I was sitting here tonight, and we had this terrible lightning storm, and all of a sudden the radio came back on, and there you were with the gentleman talking about out-of-body experiences.
Sure.
Two nights ago, I had one. I don't dream at all, but two nights ago, I had this experience where I was pagan. You know, I could feel myself in the air, and I saw, you know, like people, you know, in the war killing each other in Afghanistan. I saw this oil spill, and just, you know, a lot of bad things on this planet. And then last night, I had another experience where I was just drifting in the air, and all of a sudden, it was like going through a tube of light. And I was in his room, and there was a gentleman, well, not a gentleman, there was an image there, so bright, I mean, I couldn't even look up at it. It was just so intense. And all it said was, tell them, you know, I'm coming.
Hmm.
And then these other two beings, I mean, just in white, really intense white.
Like angelic?
Something like that, yeah, I guess. Like I say, I don't dream, so yeah. I don't know what it was. But they coming back, I mean, I could feel myself actually leaving the room and actually coming back, and they said, watch the signs. Well, today, here in Annapolis, well, in Rockville, actually, we had an earthquake.
Which is very unusual.
Right, exactly, yeah. So, you know, I don't know what
it
was. It
was a little one, but you still had one.
Yeah, yeah. We had one.
Well, we'll watch these signs.
Yeah.
You are, if you're a believer in the book of Revelation, we're in the middle of all these signs right now, too. Let's go to Petaluma, California. Hobie's with us on the Wild Card Line. Hello, Hobie.
Hey, George. How are you?
Okay.
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure thing.
I just wanted to let you know that I'm a college student, and I've been a listener for about 6 years now. And what I really love about your style is that it doesn't matter whose opinion it is or whether you agree with it or not, you're so good at listening to them. I really appreciate that.
Well, you know what? I was raised that way. It's just not. I don't think nighttime radio needs to be confrontational. You hear that every day in the daytime.
I really admire that. So, very very nice.
Super. What are you majoring in, by the way?
I'm studying chemistry and history at UC Davis, actually, and I'm a blind student. So it's
good for you.
Yes, I'm really enjoying myself there. My question actually is somewhat related to that. I wonder if you've ever heard or had a guest named Ray Kurzweil on.
I think we might have.
I'm not sure if you're aware of what he does. He's very into sort of this theory of singularity and artificial intelligence.
Yeah.
And what brings me to talk about him is I'm a member of the National Federation of the Blind and just returned from one of their national conventions where he gave a speech. And he talks about some really kind of, you know, stuff that people might think of as being a little bit out there, but it's so true sounding when you listen to it and you see what he's done. He, in 1975, he said, I'm going to create the next reading machine for the blind. And he presented the community with a machine that was the size of two washing machines.
Yeah.
That could read a page of text very roughly.
He was with us 5 years ago. We had him on.
Okay.
5 years ago.
That machine in 2010 is a, you know, a tiny cell phone in your pocket. And when he tells you, you know, in the next few decades, we're going to have bionic people that can live for 300 years, you kind of have to believe him.
Yeah, probably.
And one other quick question for you. Who does the voice at the beginning of the show?
That is Ross Mitchell, who lives in Reno, Nevada.
Oh,
and he has been associated with the program since its inception, I believe. And we've retained him. He stays with us.
I love that voice.
Yep, he's a super guy, heart of gold. Loves the program. Has his own show out in Reno.
Wow.
On our affiliate there. And
well, George, thank you very much.
He's
I
the
really
best.
Appreciate talking to you.
All right, good luck in school.
Hey, I'll need it. Thanks.
All right, let's go to Pat in Santa Fe, on the Wild Card Line. Hey, Pat, welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for holding, by the way.
No problem. I spoke with you back in October, and I told you about something passing my window that wasn't there. I don't know if you remember or not. It opened
the
back
door. Keep going. Keep going.
It opened the screen door, and it opened the wooden door. It closed the screen door and walked back past my window, and it couldn't have been more than a foot away. I believe if the screen hadn't have been there, if I could have seen it, I could have touched it. And, you know, that was really weird.
That was then. So what happened? Anything else?
Yeah.
You're calling me with part two of this story, aren't you?
Right. That happened in July. And in November the 11th, I won't ever forget it because it's my mother's birthday in the 12th. And we were having to sleep in the living room, my younger brother and I. And she had told us to go to bed. And it was, she said, you're late getting in the bed. She said, it's 8:45, get in the bed. Well, we went in there to lay down. And behind the couch was two windows. And you remember a long time ago, they had a windowsill or a partition between the two windows to separate the windows.
Yeah, exactly.
And
or you could even sit there.
No, you couldn't sit on this one.
Not on this one.
This was I guess a 2x4 between the two windows.
Okay.
Anyway, it was raining really bad, and my dad and my older brother had gone to a football game. And my mom was in the bathroom right next to the living room. And something knocked on that piece between the two windows. It knocked three times. And, of course, my brother and I ran. And mom said, I told you to go to bed. Well, we went back in there and we all got almost to the couch and it knocked again three times. And that went on for about 15 minutes. She went in there that last time. She done drawed that hand back. She was fixing to let us have it. And it knocked again three times.
Did she hear it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, she did that time.
And she thought it was one of the boys out in the village there. But the next day, at 6 o'clock in the morning, she got a call. Her brother had burned to death in Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Oh, my God.
And
probably right around the time you all heard the knocking.
Yeah. He burned to death at 10 o'clock.
Unbelievable.
Which is 9 o'clock our time.
What did he do? Fall asleep in the house with a cigarette? What happened to him?
No, he worked, he was a painter, and he worked in painting water towers. And he had walked, they told three or four different stories, but the last story we got, the first story we got, he had fallen and hit the railing and bursted all the pieces. That was the first tale. The third one, he had paint on his clothes, and he walked past a welder, and the sparks caught his clothes on fire. And they said he made it up to the top of the ladder and fell back down into the bottom of the tank.
Oh, my God, what a way to go.
And they said he was running around and around the bottom of the tank screaming, a living torch.
Ugh.
And so,
on to other stories. Wow. All right, thanks, Pat. Yeah. Let's go to Ian in Panama City, Florida, on the wild card line. Hello, Ian. Welcome to the show.
Hey, George. I was just wondering, what's your stance on Nephilim, angelic, or extraterrestrial?
Good question. I'm at odds, honestly, with this.
I am, too.
Part of me believes the fact that witnesses to the stories in the Bible may have been seeing something extraterrestrial, but it was easy for them to put it in the form of gods and angels.
Exactly. So, that's what I believe, yeah.
Yeah. So there's that part of me that believes that. Then there's this other part, of course, that believes in the spirit realm and angels and all that, too. So I'm at odds with myself. I mean, I go at it with the two Geminis in me, and I'm not sure which one is correct.
I do, too, because in theory, it could be a we'll say, in theory, we could be breeding Satan's army. And also, on the other aspect, if it is something extraterrestrial, or if something that comes back in the form of something that's threatening to our country, our world, we are obviously going to take action on that.
Absolutely. The easy answer for us would be, Ian, that it's a little bit of both, that we have had ET visitations in the form of the Nephilim, and we do have angelic visitations.
Right, like the ancient astronaut theory,
yep.
Right?
Yep. You got
right.
It. Okay, thanks, Ian. Greg in Toronto. There you go. Take it away. Hi, Greg.
Yes, George. Good evening. How are you?
Sure. Okay.
You're a master of the year, I must say.
Well, I try.
All of your crew, Ian, Art.
They're the
and
best.
There's a gentleman out of Las Vegas that
George,
I can't recall.
Super guy. George Knapp.
That's right. I much enjoy all of you guys. But anyway, I wanted to get on to one topic, really. One is a future show, but the first thing I wanted to mention, you had a show a while ago about old TV shows,
mm-hmm.
if you recall.
Yep.
I wasn't able to get through that evening, but I recall a show called The Invaders.
Yes.
With Mr. Roy Thins.
Great show.
It actually looks like the Pizza Hut. You know the insignia?
Yeah, it does.
Well, if that's the case or not, I don't know. Maybe it's my imagination, but I loved the show, and I often wondered whatever happened to it.
It was on ABC,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't last that long. It lasted about a year, I think.
Well, it used to come on with The Outer Limits, and I never missed it, you know?
Yeah, I love The Outer Limits, too.
All right. Well, the other little situation is a show that we get here in Toronto. It's on one of the local stations.
Okay.
6:40 a.m.
Yep.
And it is a show that comes on a Saturday evening, but it's a fellow by the name of The Spaceman.
Oh,
such thing as a name, right?
I've heard of him.
Okay, but I would love to have you and him on your show. I think that would be dynamite.
I hear he does a pretty good job.
Wow. He's sporadic as to when it's on, because like it's between specials and holidays and goings on, you know. I can't, but it's generally 8 or so p.m. until...
His name is that, it's Gary Bell, isn't it? Is
I don't know his real name, to tell you the truth. If it is, that's a surprise to me.
I think that's his name. Okay,
really?
We'll work on that.
Okay. Well, thank you very, sir, and God bless to you.
Okay. I want to give you an update on what is going on for the rest of the week, by the way. We've got all kinds of great guests coming up for you, and including Michael Cremo on Monday as we talk about more forbidden archaeology. So he'll get us started, and Ian Punnett, of course, on Saturday, George Knapp on Sunday, and we're going to go into UFO Phil in a moment, but let's go to Jeremy in San Diego. Jeremy, I've just got time for you to say goodnight to the world. Would you please?
Hey, good night, everybody.
Super. David in Pleasant Hill, California. Say goodnight to everybody, David.
Hey, thanks a lot for taking my call, George. Good night, everybody. Good night, Coast to Coast audience.
And we've got Dustin in Arizona. Dustin, you say goodnight to everybody. Dustin has already said goodnight. Absolutely. All right, we'll sit back. Those of you that want to record it, go ahead. Here's UFO Phil.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden. And I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling, Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware. But now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost. 'Cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Laudasur, Stephanie Smith, Ross Mitchell, George Nappy, and Punnett and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.